I am Laura Letaria. Welcome to the Whole Home Podcast. And you're probably not going to believe this because I can hardly believe it, but this is the 50th episode of Whole Home.
Woo! I'm
here in the basement with, can you guess?
Woo-hoo-hoo!
My husband, Ryan.
Yeah.
And we're just going to record a short little episode of thanks. And we wanted to reflect a little bit on gratitude and just share some joy tonight. Just thanks for being the audience. And I'm really blessed by everyone that's on the other side of this microphone. And I guess I'll jump in. Well, I should say that this is the very first time, 49 times I've always had basically what I'm going to maybe say or talk about in front of me. And tonight I got nothing. I got a glass of wine and I don't know.
I've talked Laura.
This is risky.
I've talked Laura into taking a huge risk by trusting me and going off script.
Yep.
Laura prays over what she says, and it's a gift. The way that she approaches things is really, really a gift. And then the way I approach things is the opposite. I just jump in and trusted God that way. She trusts God differently. We both trust God, but we lean to our gifting. So here we are, and I've successfully convinced Laura to be off script, and we'll see what happens.
Yep.
So grace abounds, mercy, and it shouldn't be that long.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be that long.
All right, what are we going to talk about?
We're going to talk about gratitude. Yes, I mean, what the absolutely. Heck? 50 episodes?
Yeah. I truly can't believe it.
Yeah.
I don't even fully understand how that even happened. We started this in February last year.
That's crazy.
My very first guest, the wonderful Jess Ponder. And the last guest I had, who was it?
That I can't see because my eyes are getting bad.
Oh, yeah. It was Hannah Gross.
Yeah, Hannah.
Yeah, she's the best.
Yeah. And then you have, and then you got people coming already. Like, you're already got some episodes being produced right now.
Yep.
You're producing. So you're still in the flow.
Yeah.
And you've clipped the, it really is crazy. Like, I know that when we did Chaco Art Speak,
Not me.
Yeah, me and Gareth.
So
and then later, you know, a couple years later, Cody. But I know I've said this, but it's really true. And I don't know if it's changed now, but that, you know, if you get 4 to 7, a large percentage of people that attempt podcasts, you know, maybe get to 4 to 7 episodes. Okay. And then they quit. And it's like it's a really high number. It's like 80% or something like that. So, and I think part of it is people have motivations. Some people want to make some money. Some people are kind of really self-focused, you know, so they want the attention, but they don't really have anything to say. And what I think, one, you clip that statistic, you know, so you're totally in a different zone as far as like that goes. But two, I think the heart of the podcast is Christ glorifying and others focused.
Yes.
So,
I affirm that.
Yeah. So I think that that's partly why the Lord's blessed it. And I think that that's why you're able to continue to step towards it, because it's not really about you.
No, not at all. It's really about unity in our church and the fact that the more that we see what God is doing, the more that we'll praise Him. His praise will ever be on our lips, the more we'll expect to see Him working in our own lives and each other's lives and look forward to that. And I think that piece of knowing each other's history is that it just reminds us we're all human in a way. I think, you know, we didn't just show up at whatever age we started coming to Remnant. You know, we came from somewhere. Mm-hmm. We have generations behind us, generations in front of us. And so just sharing a little journal entry reminds us of that. You know, who doesn't love to see old letters, you know, in a museum or, you know, just photographs or whatever.
Yeah,
like
this
is sort of like our modern day kind of like that.
Yeah,
I think
that's a great point. Like a repository, you know. Think about that with the poetry book we did. That's a, you know, these poetry books have they can be sort of a kind of like a living repository in the sense that...
I don't know. I'm sorry. Repository sounds like suppository. I don't even know what you're talking about right now.
You're gonna, if you start messing with words, you're going to make me want to talk like Donald Trump.
Okay, and then
it's going to happen now.
Define repository for your wife.
Trump would totally say that. He would say...
No, stop.
It's a suppository. Okay, I won't do it. All right. an archive. It's like an archive of thought. Let's just do the official. I don't want to give the Ryan ad hoc definition. I'm gonna go with the dictionary. So a repository is a place or a building or a receptacle where things are or may be stored, like a deep repository of, if you had like the National Archives, there could be a repository of 17th century literature focused on a very particular historical event.
Okay. So this is a repository of remnant women.
Yes. And so in time, a place in which something, especially a natural resource, has accumulated, or where it is found in significant quantities, or a central location in which data is stored. You're storing up time-specific testimony and memory,
mm-hmm.
right? And you're getting a snapshot, a dense snapshot of God's work over the period of time that it takes to do this podcast, right? The amount of episodes in the year that you're in. And I think that's interesting because it won't encompass everything that happens in the life of our church, but we'll get a snapshot, a deep snapshot or accumulation, if you will.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. I don't know if this is what you mean, so jump in. But as more stories are told, like the layers, they weave together.
Yep.
And there's so many people that cross-reference one another, even like the continuation of stories or, told off-air,
mm-hmm.
if you want to say it like that. Just people saying, okay, what this person said meant so much to me. Or even in my own life, I'm thinking of, something that Callie said about being the smile of God over children, or Tamila talking about the heart of her husband trusts her, or I can go on and on to Amalia's strong desire to love her neighbor that I just, it stays in my heart. Confession of sin, the boldness from so many ladies to share. I mean, on and on. I could turn around and look at the pictures and more easily, readily tell you something from each episode that has stayed with me. And I don't know how that plays into what you're talking about, but
yeah. So I think that stores and
it continues on.
Yeah,
I guess.
It continues on. Yeah, it becomes denser. And there's two prong. One of the things that I think a podcast have done in our modern kind of context is give people a view to conversation. So like how to have a conversation and what's amazing about being brothers and sisters in Christ. And
what kind of conversation? I mean, it's not like people don't talk to each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean like a focused conversation that allows for gathering your thoughts, changing your mind, pressing further into deeper conversations, being more vivid with the level of expressive truth you bring to each other,
mm-hmm.
So that it's sort of like letting people see. It's like by letting people see more of who you are, they see your. It's sort of the vesselness of you, the cracks in the in the pottery that glorifies God and shows His goodness at work in you. Right. So when you bring yourself to bear on each other and can just sit down and have the, it's like the art of conversation.
Yeah.
It's helpful in a society where we don't do that very much. We keep up appearances. This is like, if you're honest, you're not keeping up your appearance. You're kind of saying, okay, here's where I'm really at.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like what community group has strived to do over the years.
Yeah.
And I think we need to learn to continue to partake in trusting the Lord and being as truthful as we can be, actually.
Yeah. Something else. I'm not even saying I do it well because a lot of this is really awkward for me. But even like the point of playing games and even like I said, if they're kind of dumb, I don't know that I'm always laughing with necessarily like my peers or my friend, like some friends I do. But even just to experience laughing with people that I don't maybe because of the amount of time we spend together,
sure.
we don't ever get to a laugh or something, or... Yeah, so even just trying to make a space where hopefully there is a laugh And then I felt really strongly about the piece at the end of the podcast where I just feel like it shows the fullness of a person by bringing something, yeah, more intimate with to them. I forget what that part of the podcast is called, but just the part where someone brings something to share. Mm-hmm. And even if they are not a writer, you know, or whatever they bring to share, you know, they could sing or just be more thoughtful or reflective on something or a prayer or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I just know that there's like a fullness to everyone that, again, like, when would I tap into that mm-hmm. with people? Like, what kind of conversation would that be where someone's like, hey, can I share this song that mm-hmm. I wrote, you know, or.
But see, that's the thing, though. So we actually, as corny as it could sound, we probably, we should be more like that, but we need more, what I would call like on-ramps.
Okay.
We need more invitations to the full orb life that Christ provides for us. And we need to look less at a secular world's social cues and nods and over compartmentalization of when and where things happen, because it's a highly constructed world predicated on proving and protecting oneself, covering sin and angling for gain. There's like the person, you know, who bites into like a cinnamon roll and says, man, this is good. Do you want some? Like that reflex to share it just kind of off the cuff. We kind of should be like that. Mm-hmm. We should be far faster and it should come roll off the tongue a lot easier to share.
Yeah.
And I think, so, you know, one of the things we talked about this year is gratitude in our family. And so a heart of gratitude, and I'll just share the story that I've shared many times about my dad that just kind of, it's always just the strongest example because, and I've maybe even shared it once on here, but I'll probably always share it till I'm in heaven. So, you know, he's in his mid 70s. Him and his wife were in a car accident and they were hit pretty significantly on her side. He was driving. It was the driver's fault, not my dad's. He looks over and she has blood and she's out. And there's balloon, you know, the bag or whatever, the emergency bag, that driver, passenger bag, airbag.
Airbag.
Yeah, exploded, right? So he doesn't know what, in that moment, what happened other than it does not look good. So we're talking about this, and I kind of already knew what he was going to tell me, but I said, what was your first thought? Like, what did you do? He says, well, I thanked the Lord, and I got up, opened my door, and then I just kept saying, thank you, Lord, what do you have for me today? Thank you, Lord. What do you have for me today? What do you have for me today? And he ran around to the other side of the car and opened the car door up and check on his wife. And praise God, she was broken collarbone, some other stuff. She was knocked out, I think, and then came to. But she was okay. But he didn't know that. You know, he didn't know that at first. So his first response was to already thank God for the car accident. And because of that, like years ago, when our son was working through, we're dealing with his
auto-inflammatory
stuff. You know, auto-inflammatory stuff where he was getting sick initially without medication, like every 18 days, 30 days, you know, high fevers, inflammation, pain. And I was frustrated that he was sick one night, just him and I, and I've told the story, but because of my dad's testimony, I knew that I was supposed to be thankful to God for Oliver in exactly the way that he was, including his sickness. Not because I want to see sickness, but because, and we'll get to the text, you have 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, and I'll read it later. It tells us clearly how to orient ourselves. And so I remember slowly and begrudgingly just kind of like lifting my hand and putting on his small forehead, and it's hot, he's sweating, he's sick, and his beautiful eyes just looking at me and thanking God for him. And thanking God for his sickness. And like, it was a step of obedience and quiet with just me and Oliver. That was the first crack in the dam for me.
Yeah, it was almost like that, the sculptor with the chisel, like it was like a shaping mark or shaping cut.
Mm-hmm. You know, it was a shaping cut. It was because it mattered. Mm-hmm. Because I could justify to myself not being thankful. And I don't think anybody on the planet outside of Christians, and especially the scriptures, would challenge me on that.
Right.
No, everyone would say, well, it's understandable. It's understandable that you're mad or that you don't like seeing your son sick. So, and if you're listening, like, I guess, you know, sometimes we're tempted to go, well, I don't have anything extreme like that. But that's the point. those are just extreme examples in a sense that highlight the lesser, mm-hmm. how much more should we be grateful for, right? So in our family this year, we've been focusing on gratitude, like our attitude of gratitude, you know, yes, like
grateful in all things.
Yeah, grateful in all things. So that grateful in all things means grateful in all things. Like if the scriptures say it and God says it, then it must be true. And what that provides is an opportunity to repent of not being grateful in all things. So, because in place of gratitude, there's envy, right? I want something that's owed to me or something I wish I had, I don't have it. So,
what does that have to do with this podcast?
Well, I think this podcast is an example of starting from gratitude and wanting to be grateful for the work of God in our church and wanting to see sisters in Christ, I mean, from your heart, to see how, regardless of the testimony, you know, if you don't get caught in comparison, what you find is God's weaving and writing an incredible story in each woman's life. And that testimony is a tapestry of the power of Christ at work in the church. And if we could start to see this through grateful eyes and not envious eyes.
No one's left out.
No one's left out. Only because of envy do we think that we're left out or someone's being left out or something. But if you start to realize that we're to rejoice in all things, be grateful in all things,
yeah.
That becomes the bedrock. Grace restores us to God and restores our ability to be oriented properly to God and each other, and it starts with being grateful, mm-hmm. not anything else. So grace should leave us grateful because we've been saved from sin. We've been snatched out of the hands of death, and then we've been given all the riches of God, undeserved, not merited, and he pours it out on us. And he even says, this is great. So, you know, people will say things like, hey, what's my purpose? So here's a great example of God. If you want to know what your purpose is, here's a good place to find it. So let's start here. We'll go with 15. Well, let me do this. Let me go to 4.
Classic Ryan.
I mean, yeah, this is classic
Let's
Ryan.
Let's go even bigger picture.
Let's just do the whole. Okay, so we're going to go verse 12.
Where are we? First Thessalonians.
First Thessalonians 5:12, okay. And then we'll go down and I'll highlight it. So we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. Say it again. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seeks to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Say it again. Rejoice always. When? Always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Which circumstances?
Oh.
All give thanks in all circumstances. I've heard my father testify to this over and over again. It's like a reflex of his heart.
Yeah.
Now watch this. So pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Rejoice always. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Mm-hmm.
God's will in Christ Jesus for you, everyone listening, anyone who ever existed, his will is that you'll rejoice always and give thanks in all circumstances. Here's the follow-up.
That implies relationship because you will know what you're rejoicing in.
You will
know what you are thankful for.
That's right.
Who it came from.
Yep.
All of that, yeah.
Yep. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. It's a good place to stop. Do not quench the spirit. So it's interesting that ingratitude
mm-hmm.
and not rejoicing always quenches the Holy Spirit. Wow. And that's your will. That's your purpose. And I think, what do you got? I don't want, you know me, I will soapbox for.
Oh, nothing. My mind was just dumbly going, what's the difference between thankful and grateful? I don't know. So
yeah, no, that's not dumb at all. That's a good, if we had time, we could word search mm-hmm. it out. And maybe when next time you come
I'll
on, you
later.
Can, yeah, you can update later.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're in a time of testing and sifting and you know how I feel. We both feel the same way. But I want to say that, you know, we talked about this in community group a little bit, but I think we're fear is crept in, and it's crept in our lives in the past, and it's something that we've had to really repent of and work at. So as fear creeps in, it quenches the spirit, and so we're not rejoicing always. We're not grateful in all things. We're not grateful always. We're not giving thanks in every situation in all circumstances, which means we're not living out God's will for our life. You know,
well, maybe, I mean, that's an like fear, even if you're not aware that you're afraid, it's actually acts on you like it, like as an overriding emotion in a way, or way of operating. So then if I'm listening to what you're saying, then you can't really notice what's right in front of your face. And then you also won't risk doing what God says. But he says, don't be idle. So there's work to do for his kingdom. You won't risk the work out of fear to get to even more gratitude.
Yeah, like, because you'll envy because you won't be on mission. So you'll be static. And so then you'll be looking at what you don't have. But God's riches and his promises are bountiful. And he calls us to be men and women, to be fruitful and multiply too. The Great Commission is worth meditating on. Love neighbor as self. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is bore out of a of kind of walking it out confessionally, repentance and faith in Christ, and the Spirit works to bring greater amounts of fruit as we confess, repent, and believe.
Right.
On repeat, rinse, wash, repeat. You know, like keep confessing, keep repenting. But you actually have to confess. I think a lot of folks are secret heart confessors, which means they're not really confessing. They're just sort of mumbling it, but there's times to just get it out, like vomit it out. Be grateful that you can, and be expectant of more of God's good pleasure in your life for living out the will that he has for you, which is to strive to, striving cease when it comes to salvation, but we can work at our faith with fear and trembling.
Right.
And so when we have eyes of gratitude, we have eyes of faith to see all that God is doing. When we have eyes of envy, we become negative and prone to look for reinforcers to justify our ingratitude. So that means we tend to miss the field of all that God is doing. Satan would love that. Powers and principalities and the flesh would love that. And part of that happens with women. And look at how much women are under attack in our world all the time. They're sexualized. They're,
well, I mean, I just want to say really quickly that Eve, she had every good fruit in the garden. Everyone, I mean, who knows how many trees and bushes and flowers and things that popped up out of the ground.
The Lord
even
directly.
Hanging down.
Yeah.
And she's just like, just this one.
Her husband.
Not for me. Just this one.
Yeah. Her husband. Right. Like he had led her into these things. You know, he taught her what God had said. He had conversated about it. You know, there was fellowship in the goodness of God's wisdom and plan for them through the obedience to him and his will. And so he abdicated, he failed, you know. So if you think about it, when we look
talking about the attack on women.
Yeah. So like so many women will be go to work forever, not have kids, not be married, and they'll be miserable. And that's a whole conversation about that. And it's not a judgment on anyone that's been there. It's just to say, what is God's plan and how does gratitude correspond to God's plan for men and women? So the flip side is, I think just in our church, it's just worth mentioning that when I look at our church, I see overwhelming blessing in our church. I see abundant to overflowing blessing, and I'll say how. When God promises to Abraham that his offspring will be as numerous as the stars through Christ Jesus, there's a covenantal promise to that that's made, and there's a way that the head of the home, the husband and the wife, as the helpmate, work together in receiving those promises. And one of those promises is children. And so I was at a conference, and I've been sharing this statistic, but it's really fascinating that 90% of all Christians in America were born in a Christian home. 90%. So evangelism often is in the home. And that's like God's big success plan. So what that doesn't mean is we're not sharing the gospel to our neighbors. Absolutely. You know, we both are evangelists at heart in a lot of ways. So like we're going to evangelize. But it does tell us something about what God is doing in our midst through the promises we see in the scriptures to women, to households, to husbands, right, as the head who are keeping watch. But women are being given an incredible promise. They're being given children that are of the covenant. They're of promise in a certain sense. And so they're being placed in a Christian home. And what I think that should tell us is to be far more optimistic and grateful for the children that God has placed in your home. Not that we're not grateful for them, but that we don't have enough confidence sometimes in God to believe that he didn't do that by accident or arbitrarily, or he didn't give them to you so that, you know, with the mystery of like maybe you'll lose them to the world, we can raise our kids expecting far more from God because he placed these kids in your home under your care. He gave you this ennobled purpose. He put precious children into your hands in a world that is broken and said, I want to spare these kids from the level of brokenness that maybe someone who's not born into a Christian home has to endure, like I did, let's say. Mm-hmm. That is a high call. I mean, that is a massive call. That is foundation culture building. That is, you are set apart in your family dynamics. Your husband is the head over the home and he's leading, and you're being entrusted this the highest good, which is like, I think in some respects why that's attacked so much, why abortion is so high, why women are being drug out and challenged to just be their own bosses and, you know, climb up the CEO ladder and work. And all that's an attack on the family. It's an attack on the disorderedness of the way God has planned it. But in our church, we should be like way more optimistic about God saving our children. That's what he's doing. Your kids were born into your hands, and in 5 or 6 years, the Lord's going to regenerate their hearts, and they're like promised. Like mm-hmm. you can. And the thing is, we have to be responsible with it. He's got commands for us. Dad's got to be dads. Dad's got to lead. Mom's got to be help. Mom's got to understand her value and her role, and she's got to submit to authority, and family's got to submit to pastoral authority, and there's a beautiful order to it. And when that is working, wow. And so look at our church. How many kids are there?
Yeah.
Sometimes we joke about it and go, gosh, there's so many kids. Rarely do we, like, and we know it's a blessing, but I'm saying, like, it's a vivid blessing. It's like,
yeah, it is.
Whoa, God's like, hey, I've turned on the spigot of blessing, and these children are flowing out. Mm-hmm. And they're given to you because I'm trusting you to raise them as my children. I'm going to save them. They're part of this whole history of the Bible. They're part of that promise that Jesus fulfilled. And I'm trying to walk the line here. I'm not trying to go too far. But I'm trying to say that, like, we need to not be afraid that our children aren't going to be saved. And our heart needs to be grateful so that we're not afraid.
Right.
But so that we're not tempted into being negative and worrisome and competitive and comparative.
Well, you know, if we have that optimism, I think of, you know, we've been rewatching Little House on the Prairie recently, and it doesn't always go well, but I don't think Pa ever and Ma ever plant their crops like going, well, this is a waste, and here's another seed. This is a waste too, wasting my time. Like, they expect the yield. I don't know.
It's a good picture. It's a good picture of expectation. And then we have, when you look at, like, Jesus says, God says in the scriptures, Holy Spirit says in the text we just read, to be grateful in all things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In every circumstance, rejoice. And if you start to read your Bible.
Well, even when it doesn't go well, I haven't seen an episode yet where Pa and Ma are like packing up, going to the city. Like,
yeah.
You know, we're not going to just get out there again.
Yeah.
You know, planting like hope and trust or whatever.
Yeah.
So,
but what I want to say, I think that gives you a good picture of orientation towards reasonable expectation. But this is, so think about this. Children honor your parents and it will go well for you. You will inherit the land. Like, there's like a promise and a command. So children are given a promise and command. So God loves them. He says, hey, I placed you here. You behave yourself. It'll go well for you. And then he says to men, like, keep watch over your own heart and watch over your home. You need to take responsibility and lead your family. Protect, lay down your life for him like Christ laid down his life for the church. Wife, honor your husband and be his helpmate. And children, obey your mother and your father and it will go well for you. I mean, he is, and hey, everyone, rejoice always in being grateful in all things. Go and make disciples, right? And be fruitful and multiply and love neighbor as self. And you start to get this picture. And hey, you want to look for fruit of the Spirit, patience, peace, kindness, long-suffering. And go share the good news. Like, there's this incredible picture of a purpose that he absolutely blesses. In blessing meaning increase in growth. He doesn't want to give us kids for them to not be a part of his kingdom, safe and secure, eternally secure in the hands of our good Lord and Savior, our shepherd. Jesus Christ, King Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so I think we can encourage each other to be grateful in all things. I think women can encourage each other with excitement, even when like you have your 6 or 8 months where sometimes you go through really hard things like postpartum, and you know, like we can bear with and know the promises of God are sure in the scriptures and are not predicated on the state of our own being, our own heart. They're not predicated on our circumstances, which is why we can be grateful in all circumstances, because it's predicated on what Jesus has done, what he's commanded, and what he's given us in the Holy Spirit. And he blesses it. He grows it. It's an invitation to see him grow your life through your circumstances. The reward is greater because your eyes are more open to seeing all that he's doing when we're grateful. It's hard. So like, where's that? What do you do when you're not grateful? Well, I got to confess it a lot and ask him to help me. Sometimes like every 20, 30 minutes. All right, Lord, I'm tempted to complain right now. I'm tempted to be a grumbler. So I have to ask him to help me with it. And he has been, you know, and my dad's a great example of that. Like just so that he's at a point in his life where it does just kind of spill out of him. And from the kid's standpoint, kids don't need to inherit our fear. Think about how many times your kids look in your eyes closely to see if you're afraid or not. Mm-hmm. And they're searching for emotional cues or like objective cues. And they're so wide-eyed and delightful in so many ways, even when they're crying or, but like they're so ready to follow you. And you can sow gratitude in, or you can sow fear. And it's like, Lord, help us just to not, you know, we've done it. We've sowed fear. I've led that. I take full responsibility for it. And I've had to repent of it, and God's working on us. But he's also a redeemer, and he can turn things around, and he is. And so I don't know. Two big things to me is, gosh, we have so much to be thankful for in our church. Because how many kids are there? And then we got people getting baptized and saved. And so if you want to know whether or not God loves our church, look at how he's blessing us. Mm-hmm. Never let anyone ever complain in front of you about the presence of children. Jesus says, don't keep them from me.
Right.
So,
and if they do,
yeah,
just kidding.
No, I think it's a chance to disciple. I think it's a chance to say, hey, hey, this is when kids make noise in service, rejoice. Mm-hmm. Why? Because he just said in the Bible, be grateful in all things. He already gave you your marching orders. It's not circumstantial. And when you have eyes of gratitude, the eyes of negativity quiet down, and you can see more widely that one person has the, think of it this way, the testimony of the person who grew up in the Christian home who's like, I don't really have anything interesting that's happened to my life. I don't sound like so-and-so who had like this really extensive testimony.
Sure.
Rejoice that you don't. That's the goal. That's not, that's the goal. That's like rejecting God's good gift and saying, God's like, hey, I spared you from a whole bunch. And so there's a way that your life looks kind of easy if you compare it. But I don't really want you comparing and being envious anyways. Repent of that sin. And let's get to work on the sins that you are struggling with and be grateful about it. Because although I'm with you always, even at the end of the age, and be glad that you were spared from that. You're part of this progressive thing that's happening where, you know, in God's people, we can have victory over sin. Mm-hmm. And even when we're suffering, we can be thankful.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that suffering is not going to be there. It's just we have a way and a command and a power to orient ourselves that way.
There's even, okay, so we've talked on the podcast before, I think, about practicing goodness and so forth from 2 Peter. And just reading through the Old Testament again, there's even offerings, like the thanks offerings that are part of mm-hmm. the Jewish people's rituals. And like, that's not there arbitrarily. It's like a pattern mm-hmm. for us. Like that's still even, it's just part of the way that we relate to the God of the universe mm-hmm. is in thanks. Like that's our proper orientation towards him is when we approach him to, there's something that flows from him to us that we can't ever get on our own.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're offering it properly, should you be offering it begrudgingly? Or when you offer it, should your heart accord as well? You know?
No, that's a great, and so think about it. Like, even if, so like, let's say you're kind of a,
fine, I'll give you this other, you know, grain and bowl, God.
Yeah,
stank, Cain, thanks.
Cain and Abel situation.
And I think, you know, the scripture later, like, doesn't a father delight to give his children good gifts? Our proper orientation towards God is knowing, like, this isn't the end of things that we're going to be grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to be able to come back here again and again and again, mm-hmm. and thank you again and again and again, God.
The father alights. Mm-hmm. He delights to give good gifts. Think
I just want to say, even this podcast, I recognize on so many levels my weaknesses and really wanting to be a woman of integrity, that the things that I say that I believe are actually, like, truly integral to my innermost being. So, like, do I thank God for my sisters enough? Well, if I don't even, like, know them or know about them or hear what's going on with them, or, like, yeah, how I want to relate more so that I can, yeah, share more, love more,
bear with more.
Just all of these things, you know, you really feel more shoulder to shoulder or arm around arm kind mm-hmm. of thing. And I'm not saying it's easy for everyone to enter into that space. Like,
definitely not.
But maybe over time,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah. And I think it is over time. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Mm-hmm. So it's absolutely over time. So to think that it's not is to confuse the kind of way that God sanctifies people. You know, he declares us whole and complete and forgiven and justified, and then he gets to the work of sanctifying us. So we don't have to worry about losing our salvation or proving that we're Christians necessarily. It's out of the overflow of his love that we begin to walk anew, and that's a process. And everything about the scriptures points to a process. I mean, the whole thing. But I was thinking about it. It's like, imagine praying Jesus's prayer. You know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our trespasses, right? So imagine that. So that whole prayer assumes a heart of gratitude, because you can't come to the Father and call him Father unless you know that he's done something to make that possible. You can't freely confess your sin, forgive my sins. Like, you really can't do that unless you've been set free.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know what juncture he's teaching that in the scriptures, and I know that the Holy Spirit had been poured out, sins haven't been paid for, but still think about it. Now, flip it and imagine being ungrateful.
Mm-hmm.
The best that can land you is Judas. Not grateful. I mean, how do you, right? It becomes a hard hardening. Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth is, I mean, think about when your heart is ungrateful and try to pray that prayer and watch how everything closes down on top of you.
Yeah.
But think about when you're wide-eyed and thankful. Lord, I'm not owed anything, and I can call you Father, and you actually instruct me in how to pray. I don't even have to wonder how I should pray. You actually gave it to me through your Son who died on the cross for me, and I can confess my sin to you and thank you. I can request daily bread and then be thankful again, because you always supply what I need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you go so far as to tell me to consider the birds of the air, and the lilies of the field, and how they're clothed. And you've given me everything I need for life and godliness. How can I not be thankful? Right. Doesn't matter what happens to me from this day forward, I'm eternally secure in you. I want to be excited, because if you can do that for me, you're definitely doing it for my kids. You're definitely doing it for my family. And I want to be hopeful. And Lord, would you help me maintain a heart of hopeful gratitude and expectancy for your continual work in our life, for your gospel to go forward, and for us to just shed all the fear, all the hurt, all the anxiety, all the pride, all the selfishness, the ugly things. Lord, just eviscerate them. They have no place in your kingdom. And I think the world needs to see that, and we're just sitting in such a beautiful opportunity. We talk about how dark the world is, but we need to talk about how light and bright God's kingdom people are, and how much that contrast shows against darkness. Mm-hmm. So what an incredible opportunity to be salt and light people in this season of life with our children. There's so many families with 4, 5, 6, 7 kids. I love when those families are out and about, because it's a staggering declaration of victory.
Yeah.
It's an incredible picture of triumphal, humble triumphalness in the gospel. Like, the gates of hell will not prevail. I'm out on Carytown with my 7 kids.
Yeah.
With my 4 kids. With my 2 kids. And if you're single, rejoice. Grateful in all things. Even if you never end up married, God has a plan for you. and you're a part of a family. And so in that sense, you're married to the Lord Jesus. So we can be thankful at every season of life for the blessings that God is pouring out, whether it's in our own hearts and hands and pockets and families directly or indirectly. Mm-hmm. The Lord is blessing our church. And I think if we have hearts of gratitude, whether we're single, old, young, struggling in pain, you know, I got a lot of pain. So like I have to fight for gratitude moment to moment because I have a decent amount of pain that doesn't go away. So when I give into that, I can't see God's goodness at work in us. I become withered and bitter. But when I repent and asking and seeking, the Lord provides, and I can see past my pain to the joy of the baptisms we just saw, the joy of all the people I love that play music, or the joy of the people that I've seen in our church that I don't know directly very well, but they've been faithfully membered for years.
Yeah.
You know, like I can see the little things that are magnified through eyes of gratitude in every season of life, in every circumstance. And if you're in a season where you'd like for something different, right? Like if you're in a season of singleness and you want something different, then you got to do battle on your ingratitude. You got to plead with God to start to look at those things and have God search your heart and have brothers and sisters search your heart, you know, like that kind of thing. Ask him. He delights to give his children good gifts. But you ever have a kid who's ungrateful, who asks you for something as a parent?
Yeah.
It's not as easy to give it to him because you're like, we got to deal with something first because you're off. And it would be unloving for me to just give you what you're asking for when you're asking from such an ungrateful place. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like there's plenty of times where the kids could say, so Oliver could ask for something. And I'd be like, not today, bud. And the main reason why is because you have a terrible attitude right now and I'm more concerned about that. And so the way you're acting means that I have to help you get back to where you need to be. And part of that process is delaying what you think you need and want right now, because you're not even asking from a sincere conscience or a pure heart, let's say. You know, like when you look at 1 Timothy, it talks about a way to wage good warfare. So anyhow, there's discipline that comes to help the heart to be softened, and then different desires follow sometimes, because the motivations are different. They're not from an they're not from an envy or a idolatrous or lustful or dishonest place.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that word soft is a really important word, because I actually think, like at least in my mind, sometimes I get misconstrued thinking it's actually virtuous to be guarding myself or you know, ready to put my defenses up, or, you know, just stern, or, you know, in control, or whatever, seemingly, whatever that is. And it just seems, I don't know, counterintuitive maybe to be like, no, we're looking for gentleness in Christ. Eyes that aren't always wandering, like, next thing, me, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? Like, what can I get? What's out there? And just like, no, just like sit and rest. Kind of thing.
You know, what's really interesting about what you said about defense. You said, kind of like protecting yourself or tensing up. Like I forget how you said it, as opposed to softening. And what's interesting about God's plan for men and women in marriage is that the man is the one that's supposed to protect and be like toughen up, harden up. And the contrast between the hardening up.
Muscles, babe, come on.
Yeah, I know. I'm under heavy conviction right this second. But the man is that role so that the strength of the woman, as what the Bible talks about, is the weaker vessel. You know, vases and flowers are powerful, but their power.
I love Doug Ponder's wine glass versus whatever.
Yeah, that's
the,
right. The beer mug.
Mug, yeah.
Right? So it's only by contrast. So women are to be the weaker vessel to their husband, primarily. Mm-hmm. And so in that dance, that's orientation towards your physicality.
Or it'd be daughters to fathers.
Daughters to fathers, that's right.
Husband, yeah.
Yeah, so if you don't have, it's daughters to fathers. And at a minimum, it's you to your heavenly father, and then your memberness to the church and your pastoral leadership and those kinds of things. And so, I mean, that's not even minimum. It's all ordered together. It's all interrelated, right? But there is something displayed powerfully in God's good design for men and women when you can not be the protector of yourself because your husband's the protector. So you're not robbing glory from God by trying to be the protector when your husband is the protector. And he can't be the protector if he's competing with you to protect. But then it's a question of like, well, what do I get to be? Well, yeah. When the vase protects the flowers get to be radiant. Why is a husband to go out and to provide and protect so that the home can be a place of radiant gospel-infused life with this bouquet that's ever flourishing, these children, this home, this hospitality, these windows that you open up that both let people see in and so you can see out, right? Like there's a real picture there. Jump in metaphors, but one of the things I kept thinking about this weekend with our church was...
Which was Easter.
Which is Easter.
Weekend.
Yeah, Easter weekend is. I was thinking about temple patterns in the Old Testament. And I was reading a book that was going into this. And I started to think about the burning bush and the all-consuming fire that doesn't consume the bush in Yahweh, you know, Jesus, ultimately God, the one and true living God. And I began to think about all the churches around the world that were truly worshiping the one and true living God, Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and how God is at the center of that worship, like an all-consuming fire that doesn't consume the bush. And every church was like that fire. And can you imagine that? So his presence is not consuming anyone, but they're full of life, and it's joyous. So much so that even people that are not members of the church are caught up in the flame and caught up in the fire and the love and the presence of a holy God. That is a staggering implication that Christ made real and possible for us. And our homes are a smaller version of the Lord's presence in this burning bush, not being consumed, but just luminous.
Yeah.
And it's worthy of protection. And if the fire protects itself, it goes out. So there's some kind of relationship between men and women. Man is the head, and women have to trust the Lord and be soft and be and be a gentle and quiet spirit, because in that your radiance is shown forth, and it glorifies God, and it admonishes, you know, children or brings them up in the admonition of the Lord, and that's multi-generational, and that is, you know, a part of God's victory over evil is right worship, sacraments, gathering together like we do on Sunday, and men and women being men and women, the institution of marriage. And what follows from that is the way that he entrusts special children, special in that he brought them to your home and not someone else's. And so I just think, be excited when your family grows that God is doing it, and that it's because he's growing his kingdom. He wants these kids, and he says, don't keep them from me. I've entrusted you with them to raise them up in my ways and my statutes. And if you do that, there's great blessing for you. And I've given you everything you need to do it. I'm with you always. I forgive you every step of the way. You don't have to be perfect. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to be forgiven. But let's do it, and let's shine bright, and let's be thankful, and let's invite other people into a world of deep peace and gratitude and the ability to deal with the kinds of problems that destroy everybody else that Jesus paid the price for, so we don't have to be destroyed by them anymore.
So as I'm listening you talk about worship, I think what God's been stirring in my heart is, you know, even since, well, so many things, like we said, that our motto, family motto for this year is grateful in all things. And then, you know, practicing thankfulness for my sisters in Christ instead of in place of comparing myself to them or feeling at odds with them or anything like that, like just aiming to stir up that, realizing more and more that who I want to be is not something I do to myself. It's something I ask God for and expect that he will give it to me, even if it takes training and pruning and all the things. Something as like all of this is happening in my life, and I'm counting on the fact that many women can say the same, is that I do want to be more worshipful. So I have found like a longing to sing more in our home. You know, even see like that poetry book, Creation, Fall, Redemption, Glorification, that our church family, some members of our church family just put out, and more to come. Those were like meditations of thanks and, you know, in a way you could say, just more visible ways to practice and share things. So even like training my mind even more to like, okay, let me text this lady on purpose to say I'm thankful for you, or to like verbalize more and more. Like I find that spilling, I'm not saying I'm like a gushing fountain or anything like that, but I might just be a gurgle. But
yeah, it's a spring, you know.
So this was really, really, really beautiful. So Ryan referenced our son having a sickness, and he was terribly sick this past week, and we weren't sure if it was one of his episodes or not. So I was laying downstairs with him in the middle of the night, and yeah, he just couldn't sleep, and he was just shaking so hard, and it was, his fever was raging and all that. And so I was trying to focus his mind somewhere else, so I started to say one of the verses that we'd been memorizing. And in our household in recent years, I've been challenging the kids and myself to make up tunes to the scripture. Like, we just have to come up with them. And it's not like necessarily easy, but you'd be surprised once you say, I'm going to do something, that it just kind of starts to happen once you make up your mind. So anyways, he started singing some of the scripture, and he's like shaken and all of this, and like that's what came out of him. And then he sang one scripture, and then he's like, keep going, Mom, keep doing more. And I don't know, it was just overwhelming and beautiful. And then I was upstairs today, and I could hear him singing downstairs again. I don't know what he was doing. And all that to say, he was also a big turd today, like mega, you know, mm-hmm. Disrespectful and all of that. But like Ryan was saying, he's still, you know, a child of God, like in his kingdom. And these are the things that are going to be shaping him.
Mm-hmm. That will last.
Mm-hmm. But all that to say, when you were talking about worship, I was thinking like, we have to go to God for that. Like too, we still have to relate to him, even in our thankfulness. And then because we receive the things we're thankful for, we've received from him. So mm-hmm. ask him for all of those things that you're not, or mm-hmm. that he commands you to be, or that he wants you to practice. Like he wants to be in the gym.
Yeah,
with
he says,
you.
Come to me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He says, come to me. He wouldn't say to ask for it if one, he didn't want to give it to you, but also there's something about the asking so that you can receive, which is like, I don't know, it keeps you humble. You know, and I was trying to say, like, you know, just to go back to the kid part, I kind of focused there, but felt sensitive to the fact that our society is so anti-children, and we can always kind of go, gosh, you know, there's just the casual comments folks make all the time, like, oh, we're having more babies here. It's like, let us never grow tired of seeing God bless us with more children. Mm-hmm. That's all. Like, it's a miracle and a blessing and a sure sign of God's blessing and presence in our church community. And it's something, the temptation to take things for granted is always a real thing for all of us. You know, nobody's above that. And the temptation for us with worship, like on a Sunday, is to not think that it's actually one of the ways we trample the serpent. We crush the serpent's head. Is to rightly worship the Lord Jesus and shine bright with his presence, his holy presence in our midst. So the worship in the home with gratitude, the worship in the church with gratitude, the multi-generational blessing of children is overwhelming for all of us, because we want to see the gospel go forward. We want to see more people come to faith, and we want to see the Lord Jesus' name made known everywhere. And we want his goodness to continue to triumph over evil. And that's how he does it. And I don't know that we always go to Sunday service going, I'm going to come hear the word preached and worship. But I don't think we go, and this is how Satan is kicked into the face. I'm pushing back the darkness. It's like, yeah. I don't think we think of worship that way. If we're not worshiping him, what are we worshiping? Not him.
Right.
And so what better way to show the world than to go make disciples where everyone is worshiping the Lord Jesus? That's what he commissions us to. We put on the armor of Christ. Christ is an armor that we can never take off.
I was just thinking about that. I was imagining myself in silver.
Yeah.
With the sword and all
the
that.
The sword. We put on the armor of Christ. It doesn't come off. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty. It doesn't come off. It never comes off, and it fits. He fits it. He makes it fit for us. It's tailored for us. And it always allows us to grow. And so there's just so much in direct Christianity that, you know, the enemy's good at taking our eyes off of it and making us vulnerable. And you just hate to see it. You want to see us be more encouraged. And I know it's a hard time right now for folks. I mean, just the world's crazy. Yeah. But we have so much to be encouraged for in our church. Like, mm-hmm. the Lord's like, hey, look right here. just look right here. Look at what happened on Sunday. And it's easy to take your eyes off Jesus and then miss, right? Like, all that he's really doing is striking. Mm-hmm. Like, if there was a Twitter feed for Remnant, it would all be positive things. There might be some folks complaining, but then there'd be people going, but hey, there'd be like the reminder, but hey, look at 1 Thessalonians 16 through 18, chapter 5. Mm-hmm. We'd be exhorting each other towards good works and repentance of faith. And it would be very different than the world's Twitter feed.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well.
Anyhow.
We've almost made it to an hour.
Whoa, we did it.
Did not expect that.
Off script, too.
I've got no papers.
So if we talked really weird and off kilter, Laura will... You can edit it out or leave it.
I won't do this for 50 more episodes, right?
This is just one time. And just forgive us for anything we said that was wrong. I pray that anything that's off, the Lord just removes from your imagination.
Yeah.
Only the good stuff, Lord.
Well, truly, I am really thankful that for anyone that actually does listen. And that's all I got.
Bless you. Yeah.
Blessings to everyone. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Father, for this podcast. And thank you for my husband and him just shepherding me to trust you. And I just pray, Lord, that you continue to lead all these ladies into worship of you and humility and gentleness and strong faith, Lord. And would you bless all the children, Remnant Church. And we truly just want to give you praise and can't wait to see you tomorrow, God, and what you have for us. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Whole Home Podcast, a podcast that displays the unity of sisters in the local church and the way God so wonderfully gives us to each other in our uniqueness and in our sameness for his glory. The stories we share weave together as one grand testimony to the work of Christ and his faithful presence in the garden of our lives. Remember, the Master Gardener is always at work, so let's yield to him and grow where we're planted.